Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. During the festival half of the church year, the church has reviewed the events of salvation that were promised from the beginning of the world and have now been fulfilled. Christ's nativity, his baptism, his suffering, death, and resurrection, his ascension, and finally, the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit which he promised to send. During this non-festival, Pentecost season, Trinity season, the church is nourished by the teaching and acts of Jesus' ministry. Today's reading from Matthew chapter 10, where he calls the 12 apostles to himself and sends them forth, is an example of this. Two thoughts, perhaps, are appropriate for elaboration in these moments. First, Jesus selects and sends men who will continue for all time to come the preaching of the gospel that had begun already in what Luther calls the Church of Adam and had continued to the present in the preaching of Jesus himself. And the second item which we might consider is this, that Jesus gives authority to those whom he has selected and sent. The calling of 12 apostles is unlike the recruitment of soldiers or of Galilean fishermen or of executives or of seminary students. The 12 didn't choose Jesus. He chose them. Men full of the Holy Spirit and of good report, in the words of the Acts of the Apostles, are invited to follow him and are then instructed and formed. It's not so much different today. A bishop must be blameless, Paul wrote to Timothy. It is a wonderful thing that takes place. When men have been recruited and prepared, they are recognized by the church and ordained publicly into the holy ministry. The church's work has always been a public work, not done in a corner. Jesus selected 12 apostles, even as God had selected the prophets of old. It was to these chosen vessels, prophets, apostles, evangelists, that he revealed his saving word, moving them by the Holy Spirit to write the sacred scriptures. Those chosen were a closed number with a special task. Acts chapter 8 records the case of one Simon, who, seeing that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of hands by the apostles, desired to buy this gift and authority with money. The purchase of churchly office has been called simony on account of that event to this day. It was the task of the 12 at this time to preach only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It remained for a later time and for the specially chosen apostle Paul to lead the work of taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Salvation is of God, both its accomplishment and its distribution. It is not by our own preparations, as the enthusiasts imagine, nor is it a creation of man's imagination, as the whole world thinks. The task of the 12 was simply to preach this: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We preach Christ crucified, St. Paul said. All preaching is a response to sin, which came into the world by one man. It is the proclamation for faith of him whose heel would be bruised, and who would in turn crush the head of Satan, who brought sin into this world. To preach Christ is to preach repentance and the remission of sins through his atoning blood and merits. The business of the church is the forgiveness of sins. The church alone in all the earth has this treasure to give out: the forgiveness of sins. This is a tall order, a monumental task that cannot be accomplished by any human strength. Therefore, Jesus gave his apostles authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and infirmity. What is the authority, this exousia? It is not about superficial, albeit impressive, miracles. It is not to debate or seek to persuade, but to proclaim. Its authority is this: that when the gospel is preached, it is attended by a mysterious power, which St. Paul calls the power of God unto salvation. Sectarian spirits down to our own time often think of little else except bodily healing and earthly benefits when they think of the gospel and the work of the church. Christ is indeed true man, flesh of our flesh, even as he is true God from eternity. Thus, the church's task is to have mercy, even as it preaches the forgiveness of sins. The church has a responsibility to the bodily needs of people as we have opportunity. But the essence of the authority that Christ gave his apostles, which he gives also to the church and her ministry, is the authority to forgive sins. For which is easier to say? Jesus asked the Jews who criticized him for healing on the Sabbath day, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise and walk." Who can forgive sins but God alone? The scribes and Pharisees asked. Those who deny the authority that Jesus gave to his church, to his apostles, and through them to the holy ministry, ask the same question today. Who can forgive sins but God alone? John chapter 20 answers that question. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said to them, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Our catechism then asks the question, what do you believe according to these words? And you answer, "I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, especially when they exclude manifest and impenitent sinners from the Christian congregation, and again when they absolve those who repent of their sins and are willing to amend, this is as valid and certain in heaven also as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself." Valentin Ernst Löscher was an Orthodox Lutheran opponent of pietism, as that heresy ravaged Lutheranism in the late 17th century. Regarding holy absolution, pietism held that the pastor does not actually forgive sins. "He confers nothing," they said, "but he only declares." To interpret Jesus' words of John chapter 20 in any other way, a leading pietist theologian wrote, is idolatry. But why pull the punch? The church must not shorten God's arm by explaining away this marvelous absolution when the pastor says, I forgive you all your sins. That, dear friends, is the comforting authority from God Himself that your pastor has when he absolves you of your sin, whether publicly or individually. That is the authority that you, who are studying to be ministers of Christ, will also have. The people of God recognize that their pastor has received a special measure of the Holy Spirit, and with it, the authority to forgive and retain sins. That is what they confess when the pastor says, "The Lord be with you," and they respond, "And with your spirit." St. Ambrose of Milan said it this way in the 4th century, "Consider, too, the point that he who has received the Holy Ghost has also received the power of forgiving and retaining sin. For thus it is written, receive the Holy Spirit, whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." What Christ accomplished for all mankind, he has given to his apostles, to the holy ministry, and to his church to preach and distribute. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.